20 years ago, in October of 1991, a little college radio station in Philadelphia made a big splash when they launched a music program called World Cafe.
Great big love, sweeping across the sky.
Canadian singer Bruce Cockburn was host David Dye's first guest. In the two decades since then, the program produced at Philadelphia's WXPN became an NPR syndicated program with 500,000 weekly listeners, showcasing 4,000 artist appearances. World Cafe was ahead of the curve, giving airtime to artists Coldplay, Sheryl Crow, and Mumford & Sons well before they were household names. Then there were the established stars, guests such as Joni Mitchell, David Bowie, and Paul McCartney. All this month, WXPN has been celebrating with special programming and events. A local brewery even produced a World Cafe beer for the occasion. This weekend, there were concerts by Feist and the Indigo Girls, and the fest culminates tonight in a special show for contributors to the station's $6 million capital campaign. World Cafe host David Dye joins us now from WXPN. David, welcome and congratulations.
Thanks, Adi. It's great to be here.
So first, about your name, for those not familiar with the show, it sounds like World Cafe would serve up Afropop and tango, but that's not exactly what you do.
You know, it's really funny. When we first started, we actually did music research, and our goal was actually to showcase world music. And even the astute public radio audience throughout the country that we talked to about it were reluctant to hear music that wasn't in English. So we kind of changed the focus a little bit towards the singer-songwriters and independent music that we do now.
20 years ago, when the show started, public radio music formats were mostly classical or jazz. But WXPN and World Cafe kind of gave rise to the popularity of the so-called AAA format, which I hadn't really heard of before.
It originally stood for Adult Album Alternative. And I think the idea was to play the less popular contemporary artists that don't get airplay, singer-songwriters, independent artists, a little bit of reggae, blues, things that everybody had in their record collection but weren't represented on the radio dial.
There's also a list of your 20 favorite interviews on our website. And I was wondering if you could start by describing your favorite moment over the years. I know it's 4,000 interviews, yeah. But what's one that sticks out?
I keep getting asked this, and I'm pretty consistent with my answer, which was one that happened very early on in the show. I believe it was 1994. I had a chance to interview my hero, Joni Mitchell. I think she's just an amazing musician, songwriter, everything about it.
No regrets, Coyote. We just come from such different sets of circumstance.
So I sent for Jocko, and when he showed up with that sound, you know, and he had a terribly bushy ego. I mean, I loved it. He offended everyone in town in a very short space by saying things like, I'm the baddest bass player in the world. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling the truth. But to me, you know, he was telling the truth.
Because we went off-site, we went to New York and interviewed her there, and it was not a no-smoking room, I will say that. And just being able to engage her about music and to see her light up touched on topics that she really wanted to talk about, and it was really a joy.
Tell us more about some of these in-studio performances, because that came to be a huge part of your format. And were there any disastrous moments or moments that gave you goosebumps?
Many of both. I'll put it that way. Some of the disastrous moments, our show was originally in a third floor studio, and a baby grand piano that had been left out in the sun for a bit of time was taken up the stairs by five guys from New York City, set up for Mr. Bruce Hornsby. Bruce Hornsby arrives after it's tuned, sets down, puts his hands on the keys, and it's completely out of tune. And the piano tuner has left. And luckily we got him he made the music at his home studio for us. But it was like just one of these learning moments. There have been many, many wondrous moments. We are huge fans of Andrew Bird, violinist, fiddler, songwriter, guitarist, who tends to overdub himself. He uses tape loops and does it all live. He still hasn't attained the stardom that we certainly hope he does, but he's well on the way. I I like to talk to somebody who has a story, who's been through something. It's difficult for me to interview brand new bands because there's not much of a story there.
At the same time, you've got World Cafe Next, which presents emerging artists. And what's your track record been with those then? Have you had artists kind of flame out on you?
Well, yeah, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. In fact, I probably can't even tell you the ones that have flamed out. When we were putting together this 20th anniversary shows, we went back over and we have huge lists of everybody who's ever been on the show. And there are literally artists on there that none of us can remember, and which just shows you what a kind of a crapshoot the music business is. But, you know, you talk about somebody like a Tori Amos. You know, nobody really knew what was going to happen with her. But you have to admit, by hearing her play the piano, by hearing her songs, by hearing her forthrightness, the way she uses language, all these things were really appealing.
This is silent, and this is...
This is about a lot of things, isn't it?
It's about a lot of things. But I started it with this Bumblebee riff. You know, we all grew up playing. You know that Bumblebee song everybody grew up playing? And I decided, that song tortured me, so I'm going to pay it back.
So you found a girl who thinks really deep thoughts. What's so amazing about really deep thoughts? Boy, you best pray that I bleed real soon. How's that thought for you? My screen got lost in a paper cup.
Now, I'm fairly new at this job, and doing interviews with musicians I find can be really hit or miss. Sometimes just getting them to kind of articulate things about the music. I wanted to know what's your secret for drawing people out.
Well, you're right. Sometimes people who can say things so eloquently and with such precision in a song are not prepared to talk about the emotions within the song, or maybe not so aware of their craft.
I feel sheepish even asking sometimes, like the art should stand for itself, and like I shouldn't ask what that particular lyric means.
Yeah, I tend to act as an advocate for the listener. If I hear something, say, on the first or second time I listen to a song that I don't know what's going on, I need to find out what that is.
And while they were away, I got onto the keyboard and I wrote this little two-part invention, Bach kind of thing.
There seem to be a lot of I didn't know that moments that come out of these interviews as a result of you being our advocate. I mean, I think of the conversation with the Beatles producer George Martin. Had a lot of backstories that I didn't expect to hear.
I lowered the pitch of the original recording by half, but it enabled me to play the complete thing, both left and right hands, at that speed.
That was one that we were just really, really excited about being able to do, because who isn't a Beatles fan and who doesn't have a question about how certain things happened? I just remember that whole interview just sort of sitting there going, you know, oh my God, this is a piece of information I've never heard before.
Each piano note became half the length it would have been otherwise, so it sounded quite brittle and everyone thought it was a harpsichord.
I have to tell you a funny thing about that interview. We did it transatlantically, and George was in a studio at the BBC, and we were here. But George is very hard of hearing, and he was reluctant to do the interview live. So what we did is I would ask the questions, and I had typed out all the questions I was going to ask, faxed them, and a handler in the studio would point to the question I asked. He'd read it and answer it.
What? It sounded so casual.
I know. He was. I guess he'd done that before. He was great with it.
Were there any people who just didn't play ball?
The answer is yes. I'm reluctant to reveal all of them, although I kind of think the one I'm about to reveal wouldn't mind because I think he wears it as a badge of honor, and it's Lou Reed. Lou Reed came in, and I'm sure he was testing me. For the first 10 minutes, he gave me one-word answers as I ran through my entire, you know, two pages of questions. And I think finally he said, okay, he's suffered through all this. I'll start giving him real answers. The first time I had a chance to talk to Paul Simon, he was not very forthcoming until the microphone was turned off. And then he regaled us with stories about rehearsing with Bob Dylan in his apartment and how when he and Dylan would get on stage, Bob would always misplace his harmonica.
Oh,
and
that's the worst when people do that.
I just wanted to, I wish we'd had the mic on. But later, he's been really forthcoming and been a great person to interview, so...
So give us a look ahead and tell us who are some of the bands to watch that we're going to be hearing from soon on World Cafe.
Well, I am fans of a lot of people, and I believe you've had a chance to talk to some of them as well. People are coming up. Lisa Hannigan has been around for a bit, but she's got a wonderful, wonderful new album. We recently had St. Vincent on, and Annie Clark is someone I'm just a huge fan of. We just recorded a session with people that aren't necessarily newcomers, but they are in this band of alternative females, Wild Flag, who just rock and were just a whole lot of fun to have on the show. So those are some things we have coming up. But I'll tell you, I'm so focused on this 20th anniversary that I've got to start listening to some more new music. I've spent a lot of time listening to the archives.
David Dye is the longtime host of World Cafe. He joined us from the studios of WXPN in Philadelphia. Thanks very much, and congratulations on your 20th anniversary.
Thanks, Audie.
There is a showcase of the best moments from World Cafe's 20 years on our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish.